Blog Talk Radio.
And you know it is, and you know it is, The Hour Radio Network, D Slate in the building. The brothers of the D Hour Radio Network is going down with it tonight. It's the Tuesday spot. Tuesday is upon us once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight on this lovely, lovely Tuesday spot. And we're going to get it in with you guys tonight. Trust and believe that we have a great show for you guys tonight. Tonight, other than the incredible segments that we have on the Tuesday spot, you know, such as CK's All in One, Where Do We Go From Here, and the incredible Real Men Talking is going down tonight. But tonight, our special guest for tonight, in a little bit, we will be talking to the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander is going to be joining us tonight on the show, and definitely can't wait to get an opportunity to talk with her as well. So don't go anywhere. Thank you guys so much once again for joining us on the Tuesday spot. If you are a singer, hip-hop artist, even a gospel singer, you want your music played on the show, you want to be interviewed on the network, all you have to do is email us at thehourshow@gmail.com. That's thehourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search the keywords The Hour Show. Now, again, in the building, yes, we are. My brother CK is in the building. CK was good.
Not much. He's like, what's going on with you? And what's going on, Elio? I'm all up for the night, you know. I ain't going to lie, I had a little crush on Erica when I was coming up, so I'm just going to keep my composure.
You going to be able to keep your composure there, brother?
Yeah, I'm going to be able to keep my composure. I'm just going to put it like this. She was a very beautiful, sexy, and still is a beautiful, sexy chocolate woman, and I couldn't But I'm keeping my cool. I'm being nice.
All right. I'm just making sure. I know how you do it. You know what I'm saying? I know how you do it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, our brother, you know, is not in the building. You know, he and Elio ain't in the building with us yet, just yet. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he always likes to get it snacked in, get himself together, you know, before he, you know, makes his flashy entrance on the show. So we'll
give him an opportunity.
Oh, you know, I mean, I told him I wanted a couple of White Castles, you know, a couple of fish sandwiches, you know. So he may be out there trying to figure out where he's gonna get some of the things we asked for from. You know, he probably trying to figure that out. But it's cool. It's cool. It's all good. It's all good. First and foremost, also I want to let everybody know that tonight as well, the DIY Network on the Tuesday spot tonight, we will be playing. We will definitely be playing a tribute to the incredible Mr. Michael Jackson. This week sparks the 4-year anniversary of the death of an icon, and you know, Michael was truly an icon, and no one will ever be like him, and he would definitely be missed. His incredible talent would definitely be missed, because the type of music that Michael Jackson created and produced was the kind of music that that was loved all over the world. And such an icon as himself will definitely be missed. We will definitely miss Michael Jackson and his music. But tonight, to honor him, we're definitely going to be playing a nice little triple play tribute to the one and only Michael Jackson in remembrance of him and all the great things that he's done in music. As well as, I would also like Chi-Town stand up. Oh, all my peeps in Chi-Town, you want to stand up right now, because I want to congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks for winning the Stanley Cup this season, getting it in. Now, you know, big shout out to the Boston Bruins. I mean, they you know, they gave us a little run. You know, they tried to make it worth our while, but Boston, big, my hat's off to you. You put in the work, but of course, Chicago, Chi-Town, Windy City, we get it in as always, you know. So appreciate you, everything you do, but yeah, we get it in. So congratulations to my brothers of the Chicago Blackhawks for getting it in this season and being the 2013 Stanley Cup champions. Definitely can't wait to get out to Chi-Town and celebrate with the Blackhawks. But, you know, that's some of the time. We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to get all into that. Also, again, I want to congratulate the Miami Heat for winning their back-to-back championship against the San Antonio Spurs, who definitely gave them a run for their money. This was a serious series between the two. A lot of people say that the Spurs should have won it in Game 6. But they gave Miami an opportunity to come back. Miami took that opportunity, and they ran with it. And, of course, you know, que sera, sera, they got it in. So, you know, just so you know, congratulations is in order to LeBron James, you know, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, you know, and all the other brothers of the Miami Heat for becoming back-to-back champions. And now LeBron is in a category, you know, that there's only two other players in that particular category. You know, the great Bill Russell and one of the most incredible players to ever grace basketball in NBA history, Michael Jordan. So he's right now in the category of Bill Russell and Michael Jordan as going back-to-back, winning back-to-back championships and winning back-to-back MVPs. So, you know, L.A. fans, sorry, Kobe's not really in that category. So, you know, we can start talking a little bit more about LeBron, L.A. Let's just say that, please. Now, I would like to say, again, you guys are incredible, as always, for joining us tonight on the Tuesday spot. D Slate, CK, L.E.O., the brothers, we getting it in, no doubt. Got to play some music real quick. Got to play a couple of hits. You know, I got some old school joints for you guys tonight. Got some indie artist joints for you guys. You know, best. You know, I do it for you like we do every Tuesday on the spot right now. Got some Al B. Shore, some Stevie Pennison. We're going to get it in with you guys. Hopefully when we come back, we will be getting it in with the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander right here on the Tuesday Spot. Don't go nowhere. CK is all in one. Where do we go from here? Real Men Talking. It ain't over. We got plenty of show to go. Al B, let's tell them about Night and Day. Let's get it.
the odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. The Hour Radio Network Tuesday Spot. D. Slade in the building. The brothers is in the building. CK, LEO. I got my brothers in the building with me. Getting it in for the fit-ins tonight. Tuesday Spot. Hits, music, you know how it goes down. CC Peniston, Keep On Walking. Before that was my man I'll Be Sure, Night and Day. Got a, you know, a couple of old school hits for my peeps out there. I know you guys love the real music. You know, I like to emphasize real music for my peoples out there. But definitely, ladies and gentlemen, LEO was good, brother.
I'm doing good, my fault. For the tardiness, you know, I saw something outside. I had to get on. So, you know, I took a few extra moments to get that because, you know, you only look coming to ever see that again. So, yeah, I'm here now.
That's what's up. That's
but
what's
wait
up,
a
bro.
Minute,
well, what, CK, what you got?
Where my food at? You know, I gave you a list of food. Where my food at, man?
Did you find the fish sandwiches, brother?
You see what? If it was, it just never ended up at the station, you know.
When you come back with empty bags, that's what I'm talking about, brother. When you come back with empty bags, we question where the food at. We question where it's at. But right. It's all good, though. My brothers is in the building. We get it in tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it is our pleasure to introduce our special guest for tonight. And such a wonderful guest she is. Erica Alexander has the kind of life story that seems like it could only happen in the movies. You may have remembered her from such hit TV shows as The Cosby Show as Cousin Pam and the hit TV series Living Single as Maxine Shaw. Right now, currently reoccurring on the new AMC series Low Winter Sun. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it D-Hour Show welcome. Please give a D-Hour Show welcome to the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander.
Thank you. That D Slate, that was beautiful. I was the best introduction I could get.
Well, you deserve it. Well, you deserve it.
Very interesting. You made my life seem so interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, well, I had to close the door when I said your name because, you know, of course, the crowd wanted to clap. Let me open the door real quick. Yeah. All right.
I need your door.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is an absolute honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. We're definitely fans of your work,
thank
and
you
you're
so
an incredible
much.
Actress.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I hear so much about you. Congratulations on your show, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on air, you know, have some fun with you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, and thank you for that. Well, I mean, of course, the big question I know all the fans that are listening right now is, how are you doing, and what's been going on with you lately?
Well, you mentioned just a second ago that I am on the Low Winter Sun, which is on AMC, and it'll premiere in August. I left right after Breaking Bad, and that's a really cool show. We're doing it out in Detroit, and I play a detective on there named Louise Cullen, L.C. Cullen, and it's got a great cast, Mark Strong, Lenny James, Ruben Santiago Hudson, Athena Karkonis. It's a really great cast, and so I'm excited about that. But other than that, I've been all over the place. I've been at ABC doing Last Man Standing. I'm a neighbor over there with Tim Allen and them.
Wow. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I've seen you on it. Yes, definitely. I've seen you on a few episodes. I love that show. I definitely love that show. I'm a big Tim Allen fan.
Thank you. Me too. He's a fun guy. And talk about another person who's from Detroit. He definitely, you know, he's calling out to the big D. And then there's Let's Stay Together. I just did like a 3-4 episode arc with the guys down there in BET in Atlanta. That was fun. I played this crazy politician named Blant Suggs, who's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if those aired yet, but that's a good cast. I mean, they really got a great cast. And Nadine Ellis, who's the lead girl on there with Velasco, they're really fun, and they're young and they're learning. But it's a good team down there. And the creator actually of that show, it was one of the writers on our show, Living Single.
Wow,
Jackie Coffer. Yeah, so she's cool. Then I'm also, I just did a movie with Christopher Plummer and Shirley MacLaine called Elsa and Fred. It's a comedy, but it's a dramatic comedy out of Argentina. They redid it for American audiences, and it's, you know, working with Christopher Plummer and Shirley MacLaine. They're both Oscar winners, and then there was me.
Absolutely.
You
know, wow. I get it, though.
They're heavy hitters, and I love them. I give them they're so amazing that they're still going. I mean, Christopher Plummer is 86 years old. So.
Oh, yes, and he's still getting it in,
yeah.
Absolutely.
He's still getting in. She's in her 70s. They're at the top of their game, and it's wonderful to be not only around them, but after a while, you really do doubt how long you can go in show biz and any point, whether you're doing what you do or I do. And it proves that not only you can keep going, but how well you can do it, you know, and they're doing it well still. So that's great.
Well, I wanted to let you know, too, that I'm currently residing in the state you grew up in.
Arizona?
Yes.
I don't even believe that. What?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you haven't gotten the memo, because people keep trying to give it to me that there are no black people in Arizona. I shouldn't assume it's black. You know, I don't know
well,
what you're
look,
doing
I,
there.
Well, if I can attest, I've seen many, many of them walking around saying what's up, what's up to me, throwing a fist up in the air, you know, saying what's up to me. So, yeah, it's plenty of brothers and sisters out here. I mean, at one period of time, it probably wasn't that much, maybe 30, 40 years ago. I'm not sure about that back then, but it's plenty of brothers and sisters out here now.
Well, brother, that would be about my time, 30 or so years ago. So, you know, but what people don't understand is that's really how the West was won. Black people are out there. We've been holding it down for a long time. And it's, and I'm glad. Where are you? In Phoenix? Like, where are you?
I actually reside in Surprise, Arizona.
Surprise. Well, that is a surprise.
Yeah.
Wow.
There it is. Exactly. you know what? It really used to be a really small town. I'd say maybe about 13 or 14 odd years ago. And I mean, and currently right now it's definitely large. They're basically trying to turn it into the next Scottsdale. So yes, yeah, it's pretty big right now.
Wow. I'm in shock. Well, you know, I was up there in the mountains in Flagstaff. I was born in Winslow, and I have a lot of love for Arizona. I really got a lot of my, I think, my really good foundation in Arizona. And I really needed it because I was going to move very quickly to Philadelphia. Philadelphia, you need some strength. You need some bottom. You need some bottom.
That's real.
So,
I can appreciate that, definitely. I definitely got some really good questions for you, but I know my co-hosts want to get in. CK, you have any questions for Erica?
Yes, I do. How you doing, Erica?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Anthony. How are you?
That's good. I'm glad to have you on the show.
I am a major
big fan of yours. I've seen you for a long time. And I must say, you are a very beautiful woman.
Thank you.
Yeah, Erica,
CK
had a little crush on you. I gotta throw it out there, so you know. And he's not exactly the misery, like misery number one fan, but you know, he out there with it.
Well, you know what, CK, it's okay even if it's a little miserious, because I could use it, so it's fine. It's fine. And don't try to talk him out of it, D. Don't try to talk him out of his love for me. Let it go on, and if it becomes
That's
soccerish, I'll deal with it.
Okay. I'll support him. I'll definitely support him.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, my first question for you is that the characters that I remember seeing you play, as far as Pam and Max and all the other characters you played in other television roles, had pretty much of a leader-like role, a personality to them, and they took charge. I know with Maxine Shaw, you was like straight to the point, blunt. I mean, I was afraid to say something to you indirectly if you was like that. So my question would be is like, does any of your personality plays into that part, or any of the characters you can relate with like that, or is it total opposite of you?
I'm like that. I am like that. You know, it's funny. When you talk about Max, especially Max, she was a lawyer. I only finished high school. I think I did get a good basic education, which is very difficult for people nowadays. But for some people, they might think I've come from college, but I did not. I finished high school, and Max was a person who went through not only regular college, and she's gotten her law degree, and she was very, very successful at a young age. And I could relate to her in this way. My initials, ERA, Erica Rose Alexander, are for Equal Rights Amendment. I was born a feminist, and I have always been more of a tom boy or tom girl. I love men. I spend most of my time around them. I spend most of my time. I wasn't a daddy girl. I just loved the company of men. And to this day, if you see me on a set, I'm with the Grips. I'm with the cast of men, and I'm very much a woman. I'm very much a woman. I'm not coming out to you guys right now and saying, oh, I'm gay. You know, that would be cool, too, but I'm not. I just happen to be a person who loves the company of men. Now this goes not. It doesn't play into strengths, but it does play into not being afraid to compete. And Max was not afraid to compete. And so many of the men and the women, I should say, that I admire today that have informed me, from my mother, I'm a child of two orphans. I mean, we were just in Arizona. My father was a traveling evangelist. We kind of were there on Arizona just off of Route 66, and we were renting our little shack home from a place called the Starlight Motel, which was just off of Route 66 on Mountain View Road. And it was a Roche Motel. And so very early on, especially living on the east side of the track in Arizona, in Flagstaff, Arizona, I went to school, and I was the only black person in those classes. Our family was the only black children in the school. And you had to decide very early on who you were going to be. You're either going to be kowtowing and gathering like this away from things, or you're going to try to step up, even though you felt uncomfortable. And that suited me. That suited my personality, even though I did it in a quiet way. I'm quiet. There's a difference between me and Max. Max is not. She's out of her face. She's very bombastic. She's very sexually active, and she's just having the best time in the world. That wasn't me. I married the second man I ever kissed or ever dated. I was, kind of sheltered because I'd been working since I was 15 and been on the road and been doing films and television and stage all around the world, whether it was Shakespeare Theater, the Shakespeare Company, and all over the place. So even though I loved the company of men, I really had no idea about how to date them or deal with them in that way. I just knew I wanted to hang out with them and be one of the buddies. So that's where I'm different. And the people that inform me, like the women, are my mother, my mother-in-law. I was a Hillary Clinton surrogate. I didn't do it because she was a woman. I just was very much, I know who she was even before she was a first lady. That's who I am. I kind of love strong women, but I seem to hang out with men. There you go.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Now, my last question, when you portraying a character, do you have to go in and like really study the character as far as when you read the lines, or you already know when you read the first line, you already know right there what kind of personality that you're going to have to portray? Or do you have to get yourself worked into being this character?
That's a good question. Well, I think I sort of mentioned that I started when I was 15, and I was one of those people who they discovered almost off the street. I had been doing a 6-week program in a company in a theater program for children called New Freedom Theater. It was just a six-week program where they teach you acting and drama, but basically through discipline. Well, they used to just work us out like we were in the Army. And you did what they said, and you didn't do anything else but what they said. And at the end of it, we gave a little nice show. But it was a really good training for the type of discipline an actor or performer needs. And I think people don't understand. They think they just see a bunch of people show up, and they don't really get how hard people work to maintain a persona or even come in to keep it going, how hard you guys work to keep this going, or forget to keep it going, to get it to go. So I am a person who's not a person who's studied. I have no method. And that would be called method acting, what you're talking about, where you just come in and you have to live the character and all that. No, I'm
right.
just one of the people that I can sort of look at the right. page and instinctively, I kind of think I know how it's supposed to go. Sometimes I'm not sure at all, and I have no clue. The whole entire Cosby Show, I played like I was in a daze. I didn't know what I was doing. I kept asking people, am I doing this right? And I said, who do I play to, the stage or the camera? And the person would tell me, stage, and the other one would play the camera. Mr. Cosby said, of course, the crowd, meaning the people in the seats, our studio audience. And the director, Ellen Gittleson at the time, she told me, the camera. I got to living single and I figured it out. It was actually both. I didn't understand that till I went through like fire, being kind of confused as Cousin Pam and then coming to my own in comedy as Max. And what you're seeing with Max, at least through the confidence, is because I felt like I knew what I was doing and I thought I understood comedy. I could always hear it, but I didn't know how to do it. And so everything you see from me, I'm usually making it up as I go, and I'm kind of just putting my hand behind my back with my fingers crossed and saying, I hope this works out.
Wow. Well, I mean, I want to say, I think that's really the beauty. I think that's the beauty of working around so many different people and, you know, being able to, learn throughout that whole process. And I know entertainment is definitely, personally, entertainment is definitely a hard business, and a lot of times, it's really all about studying and just figuring it out and knowing when to be real and when to not to be real, and knowing just how to be able to perform and give the crowd or the audience just the type of character that you're portraying, but give them more of an in-depth look at who you really are, not just on the outside, but the inside as well. So just being able to be around so many different people and just learning. I mean, it's all a learning process. So the fact that, you transition so much like that, from the Cosby Show to Living Single to the actress that you are now, I think it's phenomenal.
Thank you very much. I mean, you're right. I did learn. I try to learn everywhere I go. I try to learn from people that I'm actually stunned by how I can go in a place where it's seen as maybe an amateur sort of environment, and that they're the people who can teach you the most. And that, frankly, when you become a professional, often people interprofessional, they have so much at stake that they don't take any chances anymore or any risks. And so you can often think you're in a learning environment, but you're in a learning environment that people are holding back, they're scared, they're not trying anything. And also, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but so many people don't know what they're doing. I mean, I have no clue, and there's no way for them to understand it through classes, because the people teaching the classes often don't know what they're doing. And that's why I think you see all these people going over, not just production companies, and getting British and Australian actors. To get tough men who may look good, but they can act. Whereas we put more emphasis on looking good in the United States as opposed to product. And there was a time, especially in radio, which is so important, music. Music used to be different, where you didn't have to always just show up and look pretty. Yeah, you had a persona. You had a brand like Berry Gordy, making the young women and men that he dealt with, ready, camera ready. But most of those people would have never been picked nowadays. They wouldn't have been pretty enough. They would have been hot enough. They wouldn't have been this. But they had style. They had something to say. They had unique voices. And there's so much uniqueness that is not allowed to be anymore here in the States. And it's a shame. And I came just at the tip of that. I'm just at the tip swear, I'm telling you, there ain't no way they would have picked my Plain Jane butt for nothing. as much as you would think I might be a hottie, CK, I was about the ashiest person you could ever see with nappy hair, and they picked me anyway. God bless them.
No doubt.
I would have picked you.
No doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in right now on the Tuesday spot, we're talking to the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander hanging out with us right now. Leo, you have any questions for Erica?
Oh, definitely. It's definitely an honor for you to be on the show. And how are you doing
Thank
today?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. So just by, you know, listening to you talk and to you speak, I thought, like, honestly, you know, just seeing you in so many different things, but when I saw you in Living Single, I thought this is who you were. You own that person. I just thought, as when you just told me you were shy, I was like, I couldn't picture that. Like, you were this is who you are to me. I was like, what? I was like, wow. So you truly owned your craft and you mastered it, and I commend you for that.
Thank you.
My question for you would be, now you already touched on it a little bit, and I asked, you know, all of the actors and actresses this question, which is, how do you feel about reality TV today? You know, being as though, not reality TV, TV in general. I already touched on it a little bit when you stated it's definitely changed, but we don't have the same quality shows like Living Single and the Cosby shows anymore. So where do you see it going, and how do you feel about what's going on right now with TV?
It's in transition. I did come right on the cusp of a lot of things. I'm just on the cusp of the fact that you guys could all know me from the same show. It's almost impossible nowadays. There's so many channels and cable series and so many outlets on the web and on blogs and everything that in a way it kind of really sort of the audiences are like fractured. It's not a bad thing. It's just difficult to make an impact, say, like Beyonce is making, or like maybe some of your heroes might have made in when they were on the radio or the blogosphere. And yet the audience has multiplied, because now it's not just we're talking here and D is in Arizona and you guys are wherever you are. You can be talking to Karachi in Pakistan. You can be talking to Australia and have that audience, and you could have never really had that before, really, at the same time. In that way, TV has changed. It's changed for the good and the bad right now. I feel like it's in the enlightened period, because everybody can be on it, and I like that. I like that anybody can find their way to it, and that the market will sort out what's good or bad. But like that, there's a lot of chatter, and people don't know what to listen to or pay attention to. And reality TV is a lot of chatter. And so, frankly, there's a lot of things that sort of shoved us out the door. I'm a scripted television actress. You don't come look at me because I want to play myself. I get to play Max.
Right.
But I get to be Erica and go home. These people are actually playing themselves, but they're not playing themselves. They're playing a scripted version of themselves. And that's why it's not really reality TV. And, in fact, that's the sad point for many of these things is, it's preyed on their worst assets. So they have to live with themselves after they leave that. I can be Max and be mean as I want to be and say things and then go and people can know me as Erica. These people go home and that is them, and that's who they have to be. I think it's kind of scary because, unfortunately, since it preys on our lesser angels as opposed to our better angels, a lot of people who have in history been taken advantage of, and that means a lot of black people and women, they're now being exploited. And I don't think they're aware of it, so I can't be mad at them, and I can't be mad at them at trying to not only see the opportunity and get a brand and then get a clothing line and they're really trying to milk it, but they don't know what they've given up to do it, and they don't know how the toll is taken on our young people looking at it thinking that's the appropriate way to act. That's the sad part.
Wow. And then being as though that you started at 15 years old, is there any other aspect in your life that you wanted to emphasize on other than acting?
Well, I'm a writer. I you know, you can't stay in the game this long and not try to teach yourself different skills. And I try to teach myself a skill that I can learn without having to necessarily break off and go to school. I've been taking care of a lot of my family for a very long time, and the time that I might have had to go to school has been difficult. If I applied, I'd have to work. So I try to teach myself how to write because I could take courses quickly or buy books. And I also married a writer. So what happened recently is I put a script that I had written for Mad Men, a Mad Men episode called Mad Men with Negroes. It's called Uptown Saturday Night. I put it online for the season 6 premiere, and it went viral. And a lot of people read it, and I ended up getting a New York literary agent from it, and I ended up getting called in for the Don Cheadle show to see if I would be interested in writing on staff. That would have never happened if I hadn't started years ago trying to teach myself a new skill inside of the industry I was already entrenched in. So that's what I love to tell people about, that sometimes, yeah, I may be an actress maybe till I die, but there's no shame in my game in trying to expand what that means for me. And I have to be an owner, because there's nobody making stuff out there for people like me, my age, and there are very few people doing it. And then there's everybody wants that job, from Gabrielle Union to Viola Davis to Angie Bassett. We all going up for the same job, and there's only two or three a year. I don't know about y'all, but I like to live indoors. So I'm doing this. I'm getting my hustle on because I have not only paid a rent, I got to stay, not be homeless. I mean, it's really
That's
like
real.
That.
That's real.
You
know, right.
It is real. You're going to have a lot of talent. People can admire you, but it doesn't mean that you can really sustain yourself. So that's what I've been doing. And I also have a comic book called Concrete Park with my husband on Dark Horse. And
I'm so glad you said that. That question was in my head because I was going to ask you about that, because I had regarding that, because I had seen some pictures of you and your husband at the Comic-Con, because I'm a big Comic-Con fan, and I saw you guys at the Comic-Con, and I was like, wow, I wonder what she was doing at the Comic-Con, and you just explained that, and I'm so glad you explained it to me. So how was it going with the comic?
It's going great. We got a huge announcement coming up. I can't say it tonight. I want to, but we're actually chosen for a very prestigious award here in America, and only been out in Dark Horse Presents for 7 of those Dark Horse Presents compilations. It won the Eisner last year, the compilation itself, and we were a part of that. And we'll be up for the Eisner again this year. But we're also going to get now our own comic book, complete comic book. My husband, Tony Perrier, is a writer. He wrote Eraser. He's the first black writer to write a movie that grossed over $100 million. He's the first one to have done it. He did it with Eraser, and he's also draws and illustrates and colors it. It's a family thing.
Wow.
My brother and I co-create with my husband. It was meant to be something that brought up morality tales, like kind of in the vein of Star Trek, but we put our past on another planet so we could say, what if you took people like us? And I say like us. At the time, it was very hip-hop and very, youth-oriented, but black male energy, and not like black male energy that's okay to be on Fox or ABC, but that stuff that people are afraid of, and you put them on a different planet, and they could be other than they were. They would look like themselves, but they could react and be other than they were to our eye, and you'd really start to mix and play with those things. So we created Concrete Park to sort of answer and discuss some of the things that are happening today, and really that's what science fiction is. Science fiction gives you permission to talk about the problems you're having today, but in the future. And the reason why it's a comic book, you guys should know this, and I'll tell you this very quickly, because we went around pitching this. And at one point, we went to a president of a studio, and this president does a lot of movies with black protagonists and heroes. And we sat down and started telling him our stuff, and he said, oh, let me stop you right there. I got to tell you that you don't do science fiction because black people don't like science fiction because they don't see themselves in the future. We looked at it like he was out of his mind. And he told us this story about how he had this movie. And at the end of this movie, the black person watching it says, how did that nigga get to Mars? And this is what this man took from this, that we couldn't see ourselves in the future. And my husband, who's part Malcolm X and Martin Luther King at the same time, looked at him and said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. Black people created the future. Created the future you're living in, the now. Black people created long ago. our culture that you send out and export that gives you billions of dollars is black culture, from jazz to hip-hop to on and on and on. And then he says, you know, our past precarious. Our past is painful, our present precarious, but the future is free. And to tell this man who could look at us and tell us that black people don't see themselves in the future, when so much of what we create is about the future because our present is so hard, and the past we weren't even seen as people, really galled us. So he said, I'm going to draw this, forget that. And he did. He sent a page to Mike Richardson, Dark Horse. Mike Richardson saw that page and said, I want to publish this. And that's why we're here to this day. One white man, God bless him, said, no, you guys don't understand or see yourself in the future. And a different white man said, I'll publish that. That is the future. That's how life goes.
That's it. Well, I mean, clearly that gentleman definitely don't know a lot about black people, because I know the majority of the ones I know definitely all they think about is their future. So,
I talk about Octavia Butler, one of the biggest science fiction writers in the world, or Sam Delaney, these people who are amazing, one of the top science fiction writers of our time. The whole thing was an insult. And of course, Will Smith being the number one science fiction star in the world, the whole thing was
right. Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I'm happy. Thank you definitely for answering that, because I was definitely curious as to how you guys were involved with the Comic-Con. But that's wonderful. I definitely can't wait to see the progression of your comic, and I would definitely love to read it. So definitely can't wait to until you guys definitely get that out there in the public, because I can't wait to definitely check it out. I want to say too. That your take on the whole reality television thing, it was so amazing of how, you know, your whole take on it, because everything that you said, I wholeheartedly agree with, absolutely, down to every word of how you describe reality TV and the actresses and their whole portrayal in reality television. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I know it's funny, too, because we had TC on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you know, he kind of felt the same way, you know, a little more strongly about reality television and how it's just really not, it's not, you know, something that, you know, our kids definitely need to be looking at. I mean, we need more quality, positive shows to help uplift them and to help give them a more sense of living and more sense of right and wrong and a better sense of doing the right thing, especially these days. But he had a strong take on what he thought about reality television and just the way television is today. So I thought that was really curious. You guys are kind of on the same level as far as that whole reality television and television today situation. But I wanted to ask you, you know, for all the up and coming actresses and actors out there, you know, who want to be where you are, who want to progress, and who want to eventually go from being an actor to a writer or a director or a producer, what advice do you give them just coming into this business?
My advice to people who are new in the business is to haul ass. They don't even know how hard they got to work. I wish I could tell them something different, but it's not true. It has gotten extremely hard, and yet it's never been easier to enter from just an entry level. I mean, it has been something that happened with the internet when the World Wide Web came and sort of made a better playing field, like, you know, and so people could get in on it at any level. And that to me is exciting. That's why we're talking to each other today, because there I am on an entry level trying to do science fiction at an independent comic that sort of changed the game. Otherwise, it was only Marvel or DC that they were only going to take things that they could own, and we're creator owned still. So I'm telling them that although it looks like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, it does take a huge amount of concentration, consistent concentration, and daily, every day, just putting it down. Not for the long hours, just put it down for 30 minutes, but be focused. And if you'll be surprised, you'll start to eat the elephant. And it is an elephant. It is a big, horny, thick-skinned elephant you got to eat. because nobody is trying to give it up to you. There's so many things to pay attention to. You have to really focus. And then people will find you. If you're doing something excellent, they will find you. But you also have to take advantage and not be so far in it that you don't. You're just an artist. You have to be business person, too. And you have to pay attention and go to things that teach you how to be that and how to conserve money and how to do well with what you have and also to build upon that. It's so difficult now to live, too. And black people, especially, I could speak of people of color, not just black, Latino, but, you know, half, they're from ages, I think from 16 to 30-something, they're half of them are unemployed. So I have to also speak to that and say sometimes the best thing you can do is deal with house and home first. You can't be good to anybody if you're hungry or starving and you're worried about keeping the lights on. And there's nothing wrong with that. The dream doesn't go anywhere. But when you start to try to, after you stabilize yourself a little bit or find a better positioning for that, then it does free you up to be more of an artist or to really take some chances or really go for it. But when you do haul ass, do not get distracted by all the things to be distracted. Please wear condoms. And I say this not for disease sake, which is huge and rampant because I work for the CDC. It's ridiculously huge. But also so you don't have any surprise children. And then you're
saved. Yes.
Affected in a whole other way, and all that energy that you were putting in your dream goes to taking care of those children if you're doing it right. And there's nothing wrong. People have done it, but it's not easy when you do that. So you have to really plan. If we have a future, we have to plan for the future. That would be my and if, you know, frankly, if any of these reality shows show us anything, that if they are going to take advantage of the most disenfranchised communities and exploit them, you are seeing at some level some truth about how what I'm saying you can destroy your life with all these dumb decisions that people are making because they think they're smarter than the game. The game hasn't changed. It's just that we're seeing more of it. The game is to be excellent, to have something of quality, and to do it consistently. Do it well enough and make sure you're branding it out there so people can find you. That's it. And then repeat.
There it is.
Repeat,
wow.
repeat.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. All the up-and-coming actors and actresses, Erica says, haul ass. And definitely get it in gear. Fantastic. I got two really good ones for you. Well, right now, celebrity chef Paula Deen has started a really huge controversy all over entertainment right now. And I know a lot of people, a lot of celebrities, a lot of newscasters, a lot of hosts, they're sparking debates right now about other cultures using the N-word and whether or not it's appropriate for black folks to use the N-word. What do you think about that?
It's just such a loaded question, Dee. You know, it's funny. I don't think it's appropriate for anybody to use it, and yet we've earned the right to use it, black people. I'm sorry. I'm not saying we should, but if anyone's going to use it or be confused by it, or even use it or misappropriate it and put it in the wrong places. When you take something like that and you brought down a whole millions of people and put that in their head, part of us working that out with ourselves is using it, reclaiming it. We may not be doing it well, but it's almost reclaiming it and taking it away from them, and then we're regurgitating it, and it's still an ugly thing. It's still not. People go, oh, that's my nigga, that's my nigga. They're using it. They are doing it with love. You're doing something
right.
With love that's a hate word. So there's confusion around it. I kind of get around black people.
That's
I don't
wrong.
Think that black, white people have the right to use it. I do think that artists do. Now, there's a difference between Quentin Tarantino putting it in his script. He's an artist, and he wrote it in there. He's trying to make a point. To somebody using it in their daily lives and misusing it like Miss Paula Deen, who my heart goes out to. You know why my heart goes out to her? Because I actually we should all thank her for being outed like this, because so many people think this is a post-racial society, and it is not. We're not about race, and now we are, and God bless it. People are not talking about race. Black people say, I'm tired of talking about race. Why are we just talking about it? White people are like, how dare you? It's over. Haven't you had enough? The Voting Rights Act passed in 1965. I was born in 69. No, we're not over it. It's just under the covers. And in the 70s and 80s, we talked about it a lot with the Jefferson, with Fred Sanford, with all sorts
different
of comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. and you can't do that now. And you're telling me here the 90s are with gangster rap and all the things that came out, that the music took it back and sort of reclaimed it and did it, put it in, and you could see how they were chewing on it and how ugly, you know, how it came out. And yet, everybody else said, well, we don't need to talk about that anymore. No, Paula Deen and those people talk like that all the time. And now she's out, and we'll see if people can forgive her. I do. I don't got nothing against that lady. I feel bad. I feel bad that at this point she hasn't learned better. But in a way, if she was outed in a way because she wasn't thinking about what she was saying, even at her great success and her great, she's got great talent, but she's in a black context cooking black food that we created. That's insane,
right?
Woman would be that confused at this point. And yet black people are not the only one confused about it. White people are. So I'm like, good. As far as I'm concerned, sweep it out from under the rug. It has been underneath things all the time. It's like trying to put a gold, it's called the Gilded Age. This is a new Gilded Age. You know, it wasn't just the Great Gatsby where they were putting gold on candy-coated shit. Candy-coated.
Yes.
Let it come out so we can breathe. Let's talk about it. White people need to talk about it more than black people.
Black people should not
be ashamed to bring it up anymore.
Definitely.
Right.
Well, I agree with you. I agree. I have no quarrels against her, and I do feel sorry for her because she after all this time she hasn't really learned, and she used those words sporadically without really thinking about it, and now it's blown up in her face, and now she's put in a position because you're right. The food that she prepares, the food that she cooks, it's a staple for black people, and it's something that we started, that we created. So of course, all her favorite fans are probably African Americans. You know, so
yeah.
To be put in this position that she is, that she's in right now, she's got to eat a lot of crow. She's got to do a whole lot of soul searching and a whole lot of learning about what should be said and what shouldn't be said. And those reasons why you shouldn't say these things, and the reasons why you should do these things. So she's in a position now where she's gonna be doing a whole lot of learning, and she's gonna be getting a lot of information, you know, from people about her actions, and hopefully it helps her, and hopefully that she'll be able to get through this. But I agree with you. I mean, I feel sorry for her, absolutely.
Yes, and I hope to God that she brings America along with her, because you know. People say that this is a southern problem, but I've seen a lot more racism in the north than I care to admit, especially here in Los Angeles. It's absolutely crazy to just attribute it to the north when there's a huge institutionalized racism here in Hollywood that's allowed to not only to go on, but go on with impunity. So that's what's frustrating with me. People see a person with southern and go, oh, well, of course they're racist. Of course they're this. I said, well, you don't know. I mean, I've just gotten so much pushback and racism here, in not only Los Angeles but all sorts of northern states. So, you're right. I mean, but this is how strong and important it is to talk about race. When race can bring down an empire like Paula Deen,
it sure can.
Then we've got a problem. Because that meant that they were so afraid, those advertisers were so afraid this would blow back on them, that they just totally abandoned her. And they were probably right in doing so, but that doesn't fix the problem.
Right.
And Paula Deen should be the ambassador between talking about it and being about it. We need to be about it here in America, and we're not.
You
think we got Obama, oh, great, it's over, please. It's just beginning.
Not even. Well, definitely, I agree with you. So hopefully she'll use this opportunity to definitely get herself together and get back to where she wants to be. I definitely hope she can do that. I wanted to say that if, you know, for all the fans out there and everybody that's listening, if anybody wanted to, you know, learn more about what you're doing and or even, you know, try to talk to you. What's the best social, you know, social network to connect with you with?
I'm on Facebook. I'm at Erica Alexander the Great.
And I'm not surprised, Erica. I'm not surprised.
You know what I'm saying? Really? Yeah, I'm such, oh, God, I'm so humble. You know, there you go. You know, the humility. Okay. I'm an E. Alex the Great on Twitter, E. Alex the Great on Twitter, and I'm pretty accessible. I try to make myself accessible. Somebody helped me. A lot of people
That's
still
good.
Do and continue to. I'm inspired by the youth and what they're doing. I'm inspired by you guys. I'm grateful to you for putting your hat in the ring. Not everybody wants to talk about it, but you're in the gladiators ring. You're doing it, and I'm so glad because I've always said that there's not enough new people in the game, and I'm just like I said, I'm pretty easy to find. Again, Facebook, Twitter, that type of thing. Go to ConcretePark.com. You can get Concrete Park and Dark Horse Presents on their website, and just put our names in, and it should come up what issues we're in. And when you hear more about it, please do support us. We hope you support us because of the quality. I don't want you to support me because I'm black or because I'm a woman. I'm hoping that you like
Absolutely.
It. But if you do like it, please tell a friend. We're going to need all
yes.
the help we can get, and we appreciate that.
Well, I would definitely pass the word and get some more information out there. I know a lot of avid comic book fans. Actually, my cousin owns a comic book store, so I'll definitely get that information out
oh,
there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's he's
yeah,
in Chicago.
Yeah, send us and give them away. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he owns a comic book store in Chicago, so I'll definitely try to get that information to you guys so I can get that to him so he can promote the comic book as well. And I just want
to
say
go to concretepark.com and like the page on Facebook and on Twitter. That
okay.
helps us a lot too. That's something
okay,
really simple
definitely.
That people can do, and I really appreciate it. They did it. We really do need to build up our followerships, our supporters, so we can follow up and tell them what we're up to.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'll do that, and I know my co-host as well. Before I get my closing comments, Leo, you got any closing comments for Erica?
Oh, certainly. Thank you for coming on the show. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I
thank
do
you.
Want to note that you are missed on TV, on regular
you.
TV, and I would not mind you being on my TV screen again, other than the replays of Living Single. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
No
I
doubt.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. CK, you have any closing comments for Erica? I know you do, so let's get it out, brother.
Oh, Lord.
Well, for starters, I just want to say thank you for coming on. Talking with you tonight about everything that we discussed as far as your career, the career for future actors and actresses, as well as with our conversation about Paula Deen and all with reality TV, it has been a really wonderful experience talking with you and getting an actual depth, deep, real, realistic response to a lot of things, because a lot of times that people ask things they're not and people are not as knowledgeable about it, but you came in like a soldier, like you always do. You knew what you were about. So you know yourself. I mean, for you, and I commend you for you just to only finish high school and then you went on your career. I commend you because of the fact that you know your stuff. You know everything. God has blessed you. So
thank you.
Thank you for the knowledge.
Thank
and
you.
And I look forward to
Hello?
Exactly. I'm here.
Okay. Okay, no, for a second, I was like, thank you. I have to tell you, I appreciate that's the best compliment you could ever give me. I'm trying to be a lifelong learner. I'm trying to learn right now as we speak. I'm trying to learn from you. But also, again, and you have to hear me when I say this, I'm so very grateful for the opportunity to talk to your audience and to try to give my point of view, because it is just one opinion, and I hope people understand that. After a while, they start to maybe see a pattern, and if they can recognize a pattern of people are saying to them over and over again, then maybe they'll go down that trail, and they'll be able to do things a lot faster than maybe you or I have done them, and we'll cut some of their mistakes out, and that'd be great.
Well, I want to say it's one opinion, but it's a wonderful and it's a great and influential opinion, and we definitely appreciate all the knowledge and all the information and just having such a wonderful time talking with you. And as far as, you know, myself and, you know, my guys here tonight and the whole network, as far as we're concerned, you're no longer a guest. You're a family member on this network.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You're a family member on this network. So, you know, all
the
cookouts and the
family.
Yeah, all the cookouts and the family reunions, we're going to be looking for you to be there.
Oh, no.
You know.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to take my vitamins.
But I just want to say, you know, we had such a wonderful time with you. And I figured we were going to have a fantastic time with you. And I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for hanging out with us tonight and just being a part of the show with us tonight. And we had a wonderful time with you. And we're going to continue to keep supporting you and everything that you're doing. I definitely can't wait to get that comic book information out. And definitely I'm going to get that information to my cousin. So they can start promoting that and telling everybody about that. But I think you're doing some incredible and phenomenal things, and definitely can't wait to see what you got in store for the future. And I agree with Leo. We do miss you on TV.
Thank you, my love. I'm doing the best I can, and I'm working hard, and I hope to get back in your face in a more tangible way, only so I can give you lots of good dreams.
Absolutely. You hear that, TK?
You hear that, brother? I'm going to work on it.
There it is. Erica, thank you so much. We had such a wonderful time with you, and definitely continued success, and you have such a blessed night tonight.
You too. Godspeed, y'all. Love you.
Right,
bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye. It's the D-Hour Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen. That was the beautiful and the talented and the heavily intellectual and intelligent Miss Erica Alexander hanging out with us tonight on the Tuesday spot. We had a phenomenal time with her, as always, as we always do. We got some music coming up. We got some hits. When we come back, we got a little CK all-in-one. We got some, where do we go from here? Real Men Talking. Oh, it's going down. It's going down. We got other things to talk about. Erica just sparked a conversation that I'm going to be talking with my brothers about when we come back, as well as the incredible segments that go down on the Tuesday spot. D-Slay, L-E-O-C-K, it's my man Keith Murray. He said it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Well, let's find out. The Hour Show Tuesday spot. Let's go.
Throw down while you sing the sound of this.
The most beautiful.
ass down. Now when I'm on the microphone, I roll through zones. But don't be trying this shit at home. No matter what race, creed, color, help my heart. I come sweeter than J-Rule and damage your amateur. A chronicle facial disorder to cut. I'll assassinate your character's caliber. I channel my anger from the double-edged banger and turn it to the microphone strangler. So stop trying to see where your eyes can follow. Say goodnight to the world and goodbye to tomorrow. You're raving cuss, so it's a much in your butt. But not to the fuck with joys they like. For eternity through infinity, I internally get in. The most beautiful thing in this world is just like that.
Champion, realize check mechanism. Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rad. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back, baby. D-Hour Radio Network Tuesday spot. D-State of the Brothers is in the building. CKLEO, my brothers, is in the building with me, getting it in. Keith Murray, Big Chris. That was Big Chris, my man from the UK, with his single More Than a Thug. Before that was my man Keith Murray, the most beautifulest thing in this world. It's the D-Hour Radio Network. You're listening to us right now, getting it in for the fit-ins, no doubt. And again, if you are a hip-hop artist, R&B singer, gospel artist, and you want us to play your music on the network, you want to be showcased on the D-Hour Radio Network, if you're a poet as well, and you want to spit some poetry, some spoken word on the D-Hour Radio Network, all you got to do is hit us up. dhourshow@gmail.com. Hit us up at dhourshow@gmail.com. dhourshow@gmail.com. Sometimes I have to spell it like that because some people decided not to go to school and, you know, they decided that they were too cool for school. So some of those individuals I have to spell for. So just understand that's why I do what I do, you know, to help people out. I'm helping people. That's what I'm doing. Helping people. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to get it in for the fit-ins as usual on the Tuesday spot right now, I pass the mic to my man, my brother CK. It's time for CK's All-in-One. CK, what you got for the brothers tonight?
All right, fellas. This is like this. All-in-One. For one, man, today makes 4 years since Michael Jackson has passed. And he was one of the greatest entertainers of all time. Not only was he one of the greatest entertainers, but yet he was a very smart, very, very shrewd businessman. And he knew exactly how he wanted his career to be lived out. So I commend him. And, like, you know, when we talk with Erica, these people, they had a natural gift. And they knew what they were doing. They knew what they wanted to do. And just, it's amazing, you know, to see such greatness come from these great people. And with him, I don't even know nobody that had tours like him or had TV specials and been working. I know like 7 Days 3, but like working like he has since he was a kid. And you know, and you ever think about it, you know, all the pictures they ever took of Michael Jackson from a kid to an adult. I would say that was a modeling gig too. So I mean, on top of singing, he was modeling for different photographers and probably getting paid for it. And it just amazed, you know. I'm gonna jump into the segment real quickly. That, you know, I had a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about in May, but you know, first and foremost, I'm still not a preacher. I'm not happy about Halle Berry being pregnant. I got an issue with that. I'm pissed off.
There it is again.
Yeah, I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased about it. I wasn't pleased about it because, for the simple fact that it wasn't me. That's just the thing. You know, Hallie could have called me up and said, "Hey, I want to have." I was like, "All right, bam, I'm down for it." You know, we wouldn't have had no Eddie Murphy and you know, that other lady. I'm not gonna say her name, but. You know, it just highly disappointed me. But I'm going to let that slide because I need her to get ready for the next X-Men movie. So, in the month of May, there were some great movies that came out. Did y'all get to see 42, the Jackie Robinson story? I heard it was phenomenal.
I actually have seen it, and it is phenomenal.
I caught it on bootleg. I'm ashamed, but yeah, I did catch it.
It's okay. Sometimes we have those. We have to do what makes it necessary. Now, I still haven't seen it yet, and I might have to catch y'all bootleg because I don't think it's in the theaters anymore. But I've come to grown. I've never really been a sports person, but I've come to like baseball. And I'm trying to, I guess I'm growing into myself now. And so my son, he loved baseball, and he's a video game geek now. So I had to try to get him back into that conversion of wanting to play sports and do things like normal little boys would, you know. So I'm going to have to show him this, so, and we actually just watch and learn. Now, the next movie, I'm mad. Nobody's took me to see it yet. I want to go see Man of Steel. I want to see that. That's
well, I got to say, I've seen it, and it's phenomenal.
Paul, did you just say that you was waiting for somebody to take you?
Yeah. I mean, I want to be treated for a change because of the simple fact that a brother gets tired of the change for a dinner and a movie.
Oh, wow, man.
Maybe we could talk about that in Real Men Talking when we have a day where the men can ask questions about the women. But that's another time, another day. You know?
That's going to be the first question.
That's going to be the first question, baby.
Like, how come women don't treat us for a change?
Right.
Hey, for real, now, bro, for real.
Yeah. And I did take my son to go see Iron Man 3. Man, that was the stuff.
Okay.
It kind of pissed me off at the end, I ain't going to lie. I ain't going to give you all the details, but that pissed me off, but you know.
Well, now I'm going to be anticipating for the end, so I'm not even going to see it now.
I just going to say it was good. It was really good, and Robert came up in the world since the 80s, and I like the new him. I like the old him, but I would love the new his new acting, his whole new acting style. I wouldn't mind like dressing like Tony Stark every now and then. Did y'all get to go see Peoples, Tyler Perry's Peoples?
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
It is? Okay. Because I didn't get to see that yet. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm telling you, everybody, it keeps reminding me of Meet the Parents. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, all the way.
And everybody trying to say it's something different. No. Now, I like Tyler Perry's Temptation. That was a good movie. That was a real good movie. And it had a great message. A lot of people have mixed reviews, and some people saw it as a typical Tyler Perry movie. You know, a lot of people have been bad-mouthed to Tyler, and I'm going to have to start bringing up my boxing gloves, because, I mean, he's making the money. He's doing it. You know, I still got to see his show on the open net, the have and the have-nots.
Oh,
and I heard it was better than Scandal. Don't say that too loudly because all my Scandal people be watching or listening and they get all in their feelings and I have to go and hide because I was in tug of war between Dallas and Scandal. I know they came on two different nights, but it's just the point. I like the Dallas better than I did Scandal. We got enough Scandal in Washington already. I don't need no scripted Scandal. So we're gonna make this short. I'm telling y'all right now, go see Justin Timberlake, go get his new CD. I love it. The 2020 experience, I like that. See, I have it. I really did. I ain't gonna say how I got it, but I liked it. And the new Janelle Monae with called Queen with Erykah Badu, that is the stuff. And
so I guess I'm not the only one bootlegging.
You get that all right? I'm ashamed to say it.
You know what I feel like it ain't no real black soap opera out there. You know, I mean, I know some cats is trying to get them out there. I think I'm just gonna have to create one myself, and I'm gonna call it Burnt Chicken.
Burnt Chicken, I'm with it.
Yeah, a real black soap opera called Burnt Chicken.
You know what?
Next week on Burnt Chicken. You know, I mean, just, you know, We need something real, man. You know what I mean? The Have and Have Nots is a pretty decent show, but it's not real. You know what I mean? I need something real for the, you know, black. We need a real African American soap opera. You know, something real. You know, I think I'm gonna do that. I think I'm gonna create a black soap opera called Burnt Chick.
Okay, okay, I can deal with that. Now, you know, that'd be cool because, I mean, like, we could have had fried chicken, but, you know, like, they had fried green tomatoes. Why not, you know, why not burnt chicken, you know? That'll work,
it
you
is.
Know?
It is.
Young and the Jobless.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Young and the Jobless.
Mm-hmm. So, my salute to my not forgotten bands are The Revolution, formerly of Prince and The Revolution. I was looking at them on YouTube when I was looking at different interviews. And I mean, when they had that reunion, that anniversary, Prince could have showed up and played with them. Lisa and Wendy still love him. Don't do him like Prince. Don't do them like that. You know. These grownups, I'm not going to knock Prince for having an all-women band. That was kind of tight. But you and The Revolution is what everybody in the 80s knew who y'all were. You knew, they knew you as Prince, but they knew The Revolution. Don't do them like that. That's all I'm going to say. Then we got the JBs. James Brown formed a band. I mean, they'll never be forgotten. I mean, Pass the Keys, you know what I mean? Doing the deal, I mean, you know, they done worked on some of James' songs, well, some famous songs, you know. And then, you know, last but not least, and I've forgotten bands, is Wonder Love. That's Stevie Wonder's traveling band. So, I mean, in the old Wonder Love, Denise Williams used to be a background singer. And she almost gave up her career with Stevie, and Phil P was talking and coming back, and she loved music. And I mean, these are great bands of our day, you know. You know, every band, you know, every singer has a good band to back them up, you know. So I give them that credit. So in my last part of my segment, the main topic we talk about. What is real R&B music? I mean, I'm hearing so many different things. Like, I mean, I grew up with Luther and Teddy and Ben Wyatt and Michael and all these, and Patty, all these different people that was like R&B, Anita Baker, you know. Now people want to say Drake and Chris Brown and these different. What is real R&B music? Brothers, what y'all say?
You know what? Real, I'm just gonna say this real quick. Real R&B music, man, is music that soothes your soul. It's music that gives you goosebumps. It's music that makes you smile when you listen to it. It's music that makes you sing with it, happily sing with it when you listen to it. It's music that inspires you. That's real R&B music.
I believe it changes within time. Of course, as we progress, everything is quick and easy. But Miss Erica talked on it about it earlier about how things has you know progressed, and it's about that image now. It's about being that popular thing. And the popular topic isn't the romance of a situation or the taking time or the happiness of a situation, but more so what's in front of your face. I look good. I'm this. I'm that. Straight to the draw, sex sells. So that's what it's focused on. So the Chris Browns, the Trey Songz, do they have R&B songs? Yeah, but the stuff that's being displayed and aired on the radio, I really wouldn't consider R&B. When I think of R&B, I'm thinking, you know, WJJZ, you know, Smooth Radio type music. And just like these ladies said, that stuff that make you feel good, you feel it in your heart, your soul, the Marvin Gaye of the day, you know what I mean? And don't have too much of that being aired on the radio. Those artists have R&B songs, yeah, but what's being aired is pop culture.
That's real.
Right. I totally agree with you, brothers, and I hope that we can actually weigh it out more and try to educate more people on what R&B is, because I was around people that were my own age, and they try to say, oh, well, Chris Brown, that's real R&B right there. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then I'm bumping Eric Robinson or someone or someone of the past even greater, and it's like, why are you listening to that boring stuff? I'm like, I'm going to have to change your radio thing. I'm like, don't ever touch a black man's radio, you know?
Right.
You hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Exactly. And that's my all in one thing for tonight. Next week we're gonna get a little deeper. I'm gonna dig up some stuff and start some crap with some people. So yeah.
There it is, baby. There it is. CK's all in one right here on the D Hour Tuesday spot. We got some music when we come back. We're gonna find out where do we go from here. And then a little bit later, oh, yeah, Real Men Talking is going down. You better be ready for it, because we got some great questions, and hopefully we got some ladies that might want to call in and ask their questions. 718-766-4553. 718-766-4553. Ladies, if you have some questions for the brothers for Real Men Talking, it's going down. You better be ready. It's my girl Drift the Bell with her cut More right here on the Tuesday spot. Let's go.
We want all that. We want more land.
In the hood, try and get up. Who gon' see me? Line 'em up. Lioness, jungle punch, that candy lady, my Duke's on. I'm off the porch, that breeze gone. I'm frame zone when the sun's gone. Gucci girl, thing to thing. Hood demeanor, in between on the block with the crown. I'm such a queen.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
No doubt. Welcome back. The Hour Radio Network Tuesday Spot. The brothers is in the building. It's going down. Once again, playing the hits. You already know how we do it. That was my girl, Shalice. with Hollywood. Before that was Adrift of Bell with More. You already know how we do it, giving you more all the time on the Tuesday spot on this lovely June 25th, 2013. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into our premiere and number one segment on the DR Radio Network, especially on the Tuesday spot, Real Men Talking. Real Men Talking, a segment we put together for ladies, for women, to ask us men, me and my brothers on the DIY Radio Network, our opinions on love and relationship questions, their love and relationship questions, and we try to be as honest and as detailed as we possibly can and give you the best answer we can possibly give you to help you in your better understanding of men and relationships with your men. Right now, Real Men Talking is going down. Brothers, I'm gonna get it popping. And let me go into the repertoire because I know I got a couple in there. So let me get to the repertoire real quick. And let's see. Okay, here it is. What is your deepest regret you have had in any relationship you've been in?
Deepest regret. Wow. Whew. It kind of puts you in a position where you got to dig, and then you think about all the negative things, the positive things, and one thing will probably be. Could you take a stand for this, CK, while I recollect my thoughts?
Yeah. Can you repeat the question one more time if I make sure I heard it clearly?
What is one of your deepest regrets you've had in a relationship you were in?
Okay. I guess considering that I was a bitter brother lately, I've been a bitter brother for the last few months, I guess my deepest regret was getting into the relationship to begin with.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. And I say that because of the fact that when I got involved with the woman, I did not know her for her. She put on this image. She was this person. And I guess you say this was several relationships I've been in. And then when I kind of find out them, it just, truth came out, I didn't feel them, you know, like, one woman, she, who happened to end up with my son, Mama, is a control fanatic, and when we learned that she got pregnant, she just changed, and everybody wants to say, oh, it could have been the hormones. Hormones don't last for 9 years, come on now.
Hormones, my ass, that's it, CK, yeah.
It's just, I mean, that was one relationship I regret. I hit my son and mom. I'll be bluntly honest, because she was hell on earth. I mean, I had a beautiful child that came out of the whole process, but the woman was hell on earth. I'm sorry, because of the fact that we could have been something, we could have been more, but because of how she was, because of her family influence and everything that was thrown into this relationship, you know, they tell her how to be with me. She's lying, telling me we're not together. She's telling me we're together. And there's a lot of other things that was going into this situation. It's like, I'm 22, 23 at the time, and I felt like I didn't know how to deal with this. Every day I'm going to work, I'm pissed off, I'm mad. I'm asking older gentlemen, like, why does women do this? Why? And even after the fact that, years after the fact that we were no longer together, we would never, we haven't been intimate, none of that, we still can't be civil. My son is 9 years old now. I can't be civil with her. She looks at me like I'm crazy. She takes off my new clothes. She wondered who a woman is. She found me on Facebook with different people. And I don't have I hate to say it, I don't have no respect for her. And that was the one thing I regret the most, getting involved with this woman. Now, people may say, you was wrong, you got her pregnant. Yeah, I did, and I don't regret my child at all. I just regret that relationship.
Absolutely. I mean, there it is, ladies, and if CK would have had the baby with Halle Berry, he would have never regretted that. So, I mean, just know that that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm a real winner, bro.
Her or Oprah. Sure.
There it is, man. Look, I'm gonna say this. I think one of the regrets I had in the particular relationship I was in, I remember, I think it was just, you know, not communicating and not expressing my feelings as much as I should have. You know, because a lot of things happened and a lot of things went down, you know, that I kind of let happen without really communicating and expressing myself like I should have. And I think that that's one regret that I have. And I think a lot of men should take heed of that, is that, you know, communicate with them, you know, communicate with your woman and express your feelings, because she's really not going to know if, you know, what's wrong with you, or if you're bothered with something, or whatever the case may be, if you don't really communicate that to her. So I got to say, that's probably one of my regrets, is better communication and not really expressing myself like I should have when stuff was going down.
I believe my biggest regret would be losing myself in a relationship. I had the tendency to be willing to jump out of the plane. I'm optimistic. That's my name, L-E-O. I give my all. But one thing I regret is losing myself. I get wrapped up in the relation and indulge myself with what I'm doing. And I tend to lose myself and lose focus of the things that I'm doing with my life, and I'm not realizing that I still have a path to fulfill other than what was going on in the relation. So losing myself.
That's real.
And then when flaws pop up and things like that, then I'm not able to handle it, because now I see the truth of the situation, but I've then lost myself in this. So I won't be able to see it until I get out, and then I run from the situation. So, yeah, losing myself would definitely be one of a big thing. So, yeah,
Let me do this, fellas, before I go to, before I go to y'all's next question, let me go to the phone lines real quick. We got a couple callers on the line, so let's do that real quick,
okay.
And then we'll go to LEO's question next. Let's go to the phone lines. 618-789, you're on the Tuesday spot with the brothers. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is your girl, Ray Cole.
Ray Cole is one of our family. She's a family member on this network. She's our sister. She's in the building with us right now, kicking in with us on the Tuesday spot. Ray, what's happening, sweetie? What's good?
I'm doing okay, just chilling out. I saw CK posting on Facebook. I'm like, let me call and holler at him right quick.
No doubt. What you got for us tonight, Ray?
Okay, I have a quick question here. Why is it a double standard with men? Like, y'all can look at women, but we can't look at men. Like, that bothers me. Like, I feel like if you'll look, you'll go.
Okay, so are you saying that it's bothering you that your man is looking, or it bothers you that he can look and you can't look?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like if you look,
so
they give you permission to look.
So do you feel like you should also be able to look at the same women he's looking at?
No.
I'm sorry. That's another show. That's another show.
Partially, I don't really. Partially, I don't get too messed up about it, because it is other good looking women. But it's like when you gawking, like you get lost in translation. Like, I'm not sitting there.
Wow.
That one is a problem.
You know what? I'm gonna take a stab at it first. I'll say this. I think that the thing about it is, first of all, I'm gonna be truthful, ladies, and I'm gonna be real with it. Even like with people that are married, you know, you always hear. I know a lot of brothers. I have a lot of friends, you know, that are married, happily married. And I hear my friends always saying, well, you know, if we see a good-looking woman, I was like, oh, man, she's nice-looking. And my friends, the classic line from all my friends is, you know, just because I'm married don't mean I'm blind. Okay?
Well.
Now, the thing about it is that I think that, first of all, I just think it's healthy for anybody to look, whether it's men looking or women looking. It's healthy to look. I think that where it goes from there is where you start having to question your relationship. You know, if that man, like Ray says, if he's just really gawking, or if he says hello to her and different things like that, then that's when you start to cross the line. But I think as far as looking, I don't have a problem with it because I think everybody does it. I mean, I've found myself in many times in the grocery store or in a department store, and I see a guy with his lady, and I'll see another pretty lady coming up, and I'll be looking at her, and then I'll see the guy look at her, and he'll look at me and just kind of laugh like, oh yeah, I'm looking at her too. So I just think that, or I found in the opposite, I found myself in situations where a guy would be with his girl, and she may be walking in front of him or behind him, and I'll walk past, and then it's like, you know, once she realizes he's not looking, she'll look at me and smile or wink. Now, the thing about it is, again, like I said, I think everybody does it. Everybody looks, and I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's healthy to look. I think that it just says that you're alive, and it just says that, you know, you still have fire in your system. I just think that you know, when you start doing other things like speaking to that person that you gawking at, or you know, whatever the case may be, then you start to cross the line. But I think that men, you know, women look just as much as men do, so I don't see a problem with it as long as you don't cross the line.
See, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I feel like don't disrespect my face. You feel what I'm saying? Like, look on your own, but don't look if I'm standing there.
Yeah, of course. No, first of all, don't gawk, and definitely don't do it in front of your woman's face. I mean, you sitting right there, she right on the side of you, and the chick is in front of you, and he's just looking at it. He'll look at you like, damn, baby, she fine, you know.
That'll get you cut.
I would definitely say that it's just up maintaining a level of respect. Is it anything wrong with it? No. Do I feel some type of way if my girl looking at another dude while I'm with her? Yeah, I'm a feel some type of way. But I try to monitor, you know, my eye traffic. You know, either keep your glasses on or
I like
my
that.
Head straight.
I like that, bro. I like that eye traffic. I like that.
That's all I'm saying is if you're gonna look, be smooth with it, like, you know, get a little glance in, but don't be, you know, lost in translation over there, you know.
Right, I completely agree with that, you know. But yeah, that's my take on it.
I'm gonna take a stab at this because I have firsthand experience with this with my ex-wife. We go out, and she'd be like, "We in the mall. Woman cutting in front of me. I can't help it. The woman got a big old booty. Okay." and she was. Look, if you're looking with your eyes, it's like you're cheating. So I was like, so you're trying to tell me I'm cheating on you with my eyes? It's not like, I don't think my eyes is trying to go play up and around her and her and nothing like that. I mean, I look, can't touch. That's just like property. It's like merchandise. Yeah, you're right. If we're going to do it, be slick about it. Have a quick look, glance, make sure your eye contact is all the way in there, like them computer, Terminator eyes, be zooming in and everything. Get all that out. Get that in there, you know. But, I mean, if my thing about it is it's a control thing. If a man don't want you to do it, and he's doing it's all about control. You know, yeah. And then it's a double standard, yeah. Me personally, I'm gonna be honest. If she wanna look, she's gonna look. I'ma look, I'm just gonna be like, hey, you look, I'll look. We're even here, okay? But she's looking at, what I'm looking at, I'm like, okay, we cool. But, I mean, it's just one of those things that they want to, everybody wants to control. In a relationship, from my understanding, sometimes they want to control. They want to have control of others. And it's just the thing that kind of like gets it is that you just can't tell them, hey, you do this and I don't do this, you know, but yeah, I agree. Be slick with it.
Another thing that's confusing as well, you could be walking with your lady and it makes it a more a drastic thing when you see an attractive girl walking down the street. The first person that's going to notice her is the girl that you're walking with, and then she's going to look at your face to see if you're going to look. She's going to try to monitor your reaction, and then if you look, it's, oh, my God. But if it was more, we're more focused upon it because the girl is looking as well.
And that's why you got to, like Ray said, that's why you got to be smooth. That's why one of my favorite 80s songs is I Wear My Sunglasses at Night. I mean, that's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well,
see, this is my
quick
thing. I never had an issue with, like, I was the type of chick, I'd go to the strip club with you until I got cheated on. You get what I'm saying? Like, I never had problems with other women until that happened.
Okay.
Ladies, this beautiful young lady that's a part of our family that's on the line right now, please listen to what she's saying. All men want women to be like that. That's all I'm saying. All men want women to be like that. Go to the strip club with you. Come on. It don't get no better than that.
Oh, yeah, we can make it rain on a few
see? There
not
it
is. It's just okay.
We
just in case you in the strip club, fellas, just in case you in the strip club with your lady and you got a little arthritis in your hand, you said, baby, I want to smack on the ass, but my hand hurt. Can you do it for me? See, that's all I'm saying.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for answering my question.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and get off this line, you know, because I know y'all got plenty of other callers and conversations to be had.
We definitely thank you so much for calling in and joining us tonight.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. All right, y'all
absolutely.
Have a good rest of the show.
All right, you too. Have a good night.
All right, night-night.
In it to win it like we do it, our girl Ray Cole in the building with us for Real Men Talking. Elio, what you got, bro?
This one question is, could you fall in love with the person you have a one-night stand with?
Woo! CK, you wanna pull the Crocodile Dundee knife out and take a stab at that one?
No problem, mate. Let me see. I guess all my secrets gonna be coming out after a while. But CK is a little sexy secret, right?
There it is, no doubt. All CK secrets coming out tonight.
I had hands-on experience with that. I'm gonna say it like this. I can't fall in love with no woman after one night. But then again, if the sex is good, and I mean it's the point where you put to sleep, you might just end up falling in love with that woman. But I mean, on a reality tip, you can't fall in love with nobody after having a one night stand. If you had like two, three, four of those after that, you know, and it lasted over for a few months, then that might be a different story. But you gotta have more to base off of than just the sex. I mean, you gotta have some time put in with each other. You gotta know each other. And a one night stand is what it is—a one night stand. Two people going at it, and they getting up, putting on clothes, and they leaving back out. So, firsthand, I mean, if I'm just gonna say, if it's good, if it's hooked, if it's addicted, if it's got you standing on the corner and you be like holding your hand, sniffing, like, I got to get some more, I need more, then you might, I don't know, but no.
I'm gonna say this. I think that let me say this real quick. I'm not gonna drag on with it. I think that it depends. It depends on the situation. It depends on the person because you know a lot of people say you know love at first sight. Now I'm gonna say this: if the one night stand just consisted of you know, incredible sex, and that was it, then I would say it's impossible. You know, because if that's all that took place, and the man or the woman is in love, you know, they're only in love with sex. Now, I'm going to say this. If the one-night stand took place, and that man and that woman was after the sex, they was up all night long talking with each other and learning more about each other and just straight talking and getting to know each other, then that could possibly happen. It could possibly happen because it wasn't just the sex that was involved. You know, they actually were talking with each other and getting to know each other. So it could possibly happen. Now, in any instance, some people may be cautious and some people may think and be curious as to whether or not the man or the woman is only in love because of how great the sex is. But again, if it was just more than that, and that couple was talking and just talking with each other and getting to know each other, then it's a possibility.
I think my take would be in actuality, yes, it's possible. But will it be harder? It'll be extremely harder because once you break that layer, your wall is down. That's that wall that new wall it's diminished. So you're completely open, and flaws are unveiled. So it's like you don't have to take the time to know the person. You don't have to spend a night on the phone with a person. You don't have to take this person out on a date. You don't have to do the things that's necessary to build a relationship because that wall has been broken, and it's hard to build the foundation on that. Like, you know, it's hard to get to know somebody when you already know somebody, if that makes sense. But it's more than possible, depending on depending on how that night went, because it could have been you know, we're talking, we're clicking, the chemistry's there, it's just a phenomenal feel, and I just don't want to end this night without experiencing you. So it's more than possible. You kind of saw that with Love Jones in that movie, because that first real date, you know, he took it down, and they wound up, you know, being together, but only in this rarest cases with anything, because anything's possible.
No doubt. CK, what you got for us, bro? All
right, I'm going to do something a little different. I got a question here. It says, why do some men stay away from Christian women?
Why do so? Wow. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Look, I guess I'm going to take a stab at it with the Crocodile Dundee knife. Look, I'm going to say this. Okay, I'm going to say this. Oh, man. Okay, look. I know for all the Christian ladies that are out there listening right now, why do men tend to stay away from... Well, I guess it depends, because I think a lot of men, ladies, especially to my Christian ladies out there, I think what a lot of men are thinking, and it's not like they're not looking for a good woman because they do want a good woman, but ladies, understand something. For a lot of men want to, you know, because a lot of Christian ladies are, their whole thing is, you know, they don't, and I don't think all of them are like that, but you hear a lot of them saying that they don't want to have sex until they get married. Now, the thing about it is a lot of men like to test drive their car before they buy it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Men like to test drive their car before they buy it, because they, if this, you know, this, you know, for instance, you know, if this car is going to be with them for you know, for a very long time, so they want to make sure they like driving the car. They want to make sure they're going to enjoy it. So again, you know, I think that's why a lot of men tend to hesitate or not wanting to approach Christian women, because they think that, you know, once they start dating, they may think that, oh, you know, she may be, you know, real skimpy on the kissing. She may be real skimpy on the affection. She definitely probably not going to want to have sex with me, after a while or whatever the case may be. So I think that's the reason why a lot of men tend to be like, not wanting to approach Christian women. Now, of course, a Christian man is going to approach a Christian woman, but just your average everyday, you know, your average hardworking good man is more than likely that's what they're thinking about before they approach a Christian woman.
I look at it like this. I don't think any man in their right mind would turn down a beautiful woman, you know, or turn down a challenge of dating a Christian woman, but there are some who are intimidated with the challenge. And I can't see a person walking down the street and looking at a female and saying, oh, she's Christian, I'm going to keep walking. Because we don't know that person until we know that person. And if you're a individual that wants to emphasize on that, because I'm a person, I don't walk down the street telling people that, look, I'm Christian, I'm this, I'm that. I don't. I am what I am, and if you get to know this person, then you will find out. If you ask questions, you will find out. But I think what a lot of females tend to do is to lead with that. Whether it's I'm Christian or I'm saving myself until I'm married, I'm not doing this, I'm an independent woman, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And a lot of things are being stated, which creates pressure. If it's more so of a smooth transition, whereas though we get into a relationship and I learn that you're this way and you want this, I can learn to respect that. But if you lead with that, it makes it harder. It'll always make it harder, regardless of what religion you are, what denomination, what rules that you have. Rules is rules, and rules creates pressure, and it's temptation. And some guys don't want to deal with that. So, you know, that's me.
All right. I'm gonna take a stand at it, I guess. My whole thing, when I read this question, I was thinking like, yeah, a Christian woman, if she's a Christian woman, like I think she's a Christian woman, very faithfully committed to the church, believe every word for word of the Bible, believe in practicing. A man may run away because he doesn't want a woman trying to throw that at him to make him to make him be that way. But then again, at the same time, I'm going to be like this. That woman who says she's a Christian woman ain't always saying she is a Christian woman.
Mm-hmm.
She may have Christian values, but she ain't so much as a Christian woman. And sometimes we go for that, and sometimes we don't. I don't think we as men, some of us men don't want a Christian woman trying to throw church on us and try to force us to joining the church and changing our ways, and it kind of seem like that's a control. Then when control come in again, like, dang, I'm used to watching the game on Sunday or sleeping in before the game started on Sunday. She got me getting up going to church. You know, I didn't party last night. You know, I can't go to the club no more, you know. Or if I swear, she slapped me in my face, you know, I don't know, you know. It's a control thing. I'm not going to, and then they're like, I don't want to control me. Nah, you ain't not going to control somebody. It's going to be me controlling her. But this is the thing. It's one of those things. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I never heard that question before, and to answer it, it just caught me off guard. Cause I'm like, Christian women.
I found it funny because I think that's a question I think a lot of Christian women probably wanted to know. And I think Elio made a point when he said, You know, I think that if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian woman, or if you're a Christian man, you know, especially for Christian women, I think that, you know, if don't lead so hard with that. You know, if that's who you are, then that's just who you are through and through. And eventually he'll get to know that when he gets to know you, he's in a relationship. I think the thing about it is, you know, if you're looking for a good, you know, a good man is a good man. And I think that, you know, when you lead with that and you lead with all these expectations and you lead with all this, what you going to do and what you ain't going to do, then it's going to be harder for you to find a man. Because, ladies, in all actuality, you know, women aren't the only creatures, you know, that like love and affection. Men like it as well, and we definitely like it because, I mean, speaking with myself, I mean, I can only assume that my brothers Elio and CK are the same way, but speaking for myself, if I'm in a relationship with a woman, if I'm calling you my woman, if I'm calling you my girlfriend, my woman, fiance, whatever the case may be, now, wife, that's a different story. Now, if I'm calling you my woman, fiance, you know, or you know, my girlfriend, then I'm the kind of brother, well, where I want to kiss my woman. I want to hold her. I want to touch her. I want to make love to her. That's just me, you know. And it's not going to matter, you know, whether you're a Christian or not. I'm just expressing my love to you. That's what that boils down to. But the thing about it is that that's just the way a lot of men are, you know. So when you leading with that and you're leading with a lot of what you're not going to do, then it's going to be harder for you to find a man, a good man to be with.
Yeah. Right.
Because they're going to be hesitant and they're not going to want to approach you. You know, and that's my take on that. I definitely want to go. We got another caller on the line. Let's see what our caller got to say. For our closing segment on Real Men Talking. Caller, you're on the line, 312-344. You're on with the Brothers of the Tuesday Spot. What's your name? Where are you calling from? 312-344. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
They might just be working in each other.
All right, well, maybe they just want to get their listening. Well, I do appreciate you. We do appreciate you for listening in and definitely hanging out with us tonight on the Tuesday Spot. Again, ladies, Real Men Talking. That's basically our number one segment that we do every week on the Tuesday Spot, and we get a lot of questions and a lot of listeners for it and a lot of reaction about it, and we get some really great feedback on it. So, again, ladies, if you have questions that you want us to ask or you want us to discuss, definitely call in, or you can email your questions, thehourshow@gmail.com, or you can reach us on Facebook, you know, CK, Christopher Kaiser, LEO, Optimistic Music, you know, or, you know, D Slate, you know, you can look us up on, you know, on Facebook, and we'd be more than happy to discuss your questions on Real Men Talking. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, D Slate, CK LEO, getting it in on the Tuesday Spot. Right now, I want to kick off my, you know, our tribute to the late and phenomenally great Michael Jackson. This week sparks the anniversary of his death. And we, you know, it was this, you know, 4 years ago, we lost an icon, an absolutely phenomenal icon. And Michael did so much for music, and he inspired the world, not just one country. He inspired the world, and I think it's only proper to give him a tribute to show how much, you know, we all loved and cared for him, and all loved and appreciated him and his music. So right now, here on the Tuesday Spot, the Brothers of the D Hour Radio Network, it's time to get it in for you right now. For our Michael Jackson tribute right here on the Tuesday Spot. Let's go.
Got to be there.
D-Hour Show Radio Network Tuesday spot. Getting it in for the fit-ins. The brothers is doing it like that right here on the D-Hour Radio Network. Our tribute to the late and phenomenally great Michael Jackson. Got to be there, Smooth Criminal. Just, you know, just a few of the incredible hits and music that he produced and that he shocked the world with, that he inspired the world with, and he entertained the world with such great music, and he will always be loved and remembered, even today. So without it being said and done right now, hopefully our brother Leo will get back in the building, but we can definitely start off, our ending segment for tonight that we like to call Where Do We Go From Here? Tonight we were discussing earlier with Erica Alexander, the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander and talented. We were discussing this dramatic storm that hit the entertainment world through celebrity chef Paula Deen, the fact that of her using the N-word improperly and being called a racist. She's already been dropped from the Food Network. She's already been dropped from a couple of other endorsements that she was involved in. But I do feel sorry for her. I mean, because this is really, really not a good look for her. So hopefully she can figure out some type of way to learn from this and get through it. But I want to say that, you know, a big question that's come up with a lot of celebrities and a lot of individuals in entertainment right now is the proper use of the N-word. People talk about whether or not racism still exists. If you have, I hate to say it this way, but I feel like if you have half a mind, then, you should truly know that it still does. You know, as quiet as kept, it still does. These days, the N-word, is being used, by other cultures and blacks are definitely, some blacks are definitely not happy, hearing other cultures use that particular word. But I guess the question is that when is it, when is it proper to use it? Is it okay for even black folks to use it? I don't know. I think that, what's going on is that, us as African Americans, as a black community, the word is being used because, it was presented in the beginning negatively, and it was presented to have negative connotations. It was presented to be hurtful, and what happened was, I think the African American community, the black community, has taken that word and turned it into something else. And they've taken that word and they basically said, look, this is the word that you use against us. This is the word you use to try to hurt us, to try to segregate us. What we're doing with this word is that, we're not going to let it hurt us and we're not going to let it bring us down. So we're using this word to show you that it doesn't bother us. And I think that that's where it's truly going with as far as black, the black community using that word and rappers using that word and different things like that. I think that, it's being used in a different light. I think that it's being used in a different light. And I think that's what's going on with that particular word. Now, of course, some Caucasians and some white people are presenting their argument as to say how is it not okay for us to use it, but it's okay for you to use it. Well, let me explain to you why it's not okay, especially for white America to use that word, is because the majority of the negative connotation, the beginning of the negative connotation, the racism of that word and where it came from, stemmed from the white community, stemmed from from white America. So that's the reason why a lot of black folks in the black community feels like white people shouldn't use that word. And I think that's the reason why. It has nothing to do with the fact that, well, we use it. Why you're not allowed to use it? Well, because that's where it all started from. It negatively came from white people to disrespect us, to bring us down. So of course, when we hear, somebody white using that word, then of course, for some, it's gonna bring back bad memories. It's gonna bring back that pain of what that person knows and remembers about slavery and racism. So I think that's the reason why a lot of black people take it like that. CK, what you think, bro?
Well, I totally agree with you 100%. I've been reading a lot of different mixed emotions on Facebook as well as Twitter, and a lot of articles I read too. It's like just a minute ago I was looking at someone saying, Paula Deen said something they made a big deal out of, but Richard Pryor used to say it faithfully, and I said, yeah, he said it. They showed a picture of his album cover, that end is crazy, And think about it, I said, Richard Pryor said that faithfully, and he said to get a laugh, but he had an epiphany of him when he went to Africa, and, he said, God talked to him, he seen people of his own, he seen people that look like him, but he did not see nothing that he used to say. So, I feel sorry for Paula Deen as well. To lose your endorsements, to lose your show, all because of the different things. Yeah, that was a problem. And sometimes the people don't realize what they say, but then again, they do, but they try to cover like they don't. As black people, my issue with that, for one, we have to be one with ourselves. I notice a lot of different races have had this thing where they can always be at war with each other, but then again, they always come together. My race, your race, our race, D, Elio, our race just one of those that just don't work things out. There's no unity. And to say that, you get offended if someone outside of our race said the N-word, you said it just like the next person, Paul Mooney said it, that, that's something he's always said, that's something he's going to continue saying. But then again, Paul Mooney could have changed and felt differently about it, too. But it starts with us first. And our problem with us is we don't have no unity. We don't try to work things. Everybody's against each other. Everybody downing everybody. Nobody wants to support each other. And it starts with us. So then to hear someone like Paula Deen say, then, oh, it's a big deal, it's a story. She wasn't right for what she did. But at the same time, we ain't right either, because we allowed this to go on. And because they see that we allowed it to go on, they get the feeling like, hey, that's okay, we can say it too now, No, it's not okay. It's not okay for black. It's not okay for white. It's not okay for Hispanic. It's not okay for nobody to say that. That is a very ignorant word, and people need to be careful about how to use it. And it's just a showing example. They see us do it. they think it's okay, like I said, and then they do it, and then we got to fit. No. Show, lead by example and show that, hey, we ain't got to say that word. We ain't got to, we can do different, you know. So,
there it is.
Yes, it is.
I agree, bro. And again, as the name of this particular segment, we ask with this particular topic, where do we go from here? And I think it basically just boils down to where we go from here is we learn and we progress, and you know we just try to not put ourselves in these really bad situations, and we try to learn from them, and we try to uplift, and we try to inspire. I mean, that's what it basically boils down to. You know, be the type of person, be the type of person that you want your kids to look up to. Be the type of person that you want your kids to admire. And you know, especially you know, from my fellow you know, Black community and my fellow African Americans out there, you know, just you know, don't concentrate so much on the whole negative experience of the N-word, the whole negative experience of racism, and let that bring you down, and let that bring your spirit down. You know what type of person you are. You know who you are. You know what you do, and you know what you bring to the community, and you know what you bring to your family. You know what you bring to yourself. So I think with that being said, where do we go from here is you do what you have to do to be a good person. You do what you have to do to be a better person. If you want to inspire, then you do what you have to do to inspire. If you want your kids and you want people to look up to you and you want to be positive, then you do what you do. You do what you have to do to be that person, and not be concerned about negativity.
Right.
You know, that's where we go. That's where we go from there. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take out this time right now to give a special shout out to our special guest tonight, the beautiful Miss Erica Alexander, for joining us on the show tonight. We had a phenomenal time with her, and definitely make sure you guys check her out on Facebook and Twitter. And you know, she will be more than happy to respond to you and get back to you if you want to contact her. And definitely be on the lookout for her comic book, because it's coming. Be on the lookout. You know, she's in the new television series on AMC, Low Winter Sun. So definitely make sure you guys check that out. And just keep supporting everything that she's doing, because she's a phenomenal woman. And also, I just want to thank everybody for joining us on the show tonight. Keep tuning into the DIY Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. Tomorrow, you can listen in and join Brock Gunny and RC for the Nod Your Head radio show, our premier hip-hop radio show. Tomorrow, West Coast hip-hop legend King T is going to be on the show with them tomorrow, so definitely make sure you guys check that out. As well as, you know, just keep rising, you know, like the song by Dougie Fresh, keep rising to the top. You know, I just want to tell that, you know, to all my positive people out there, just keep rising to the top, and you'll eventually get there. CK, closing comments for everybody.
Well, this has been a very wonderful night. Like you said, we got to talk to the beautiful, lovely Erica Alexander, who is a very deep and knowledgeable woman. I didn't feel like there was a no interview. I feel like it was like we all sitting around at a table just talking, or a couch, you know, just hanging out, you know, and I appreciate that. You know, it was informative and learning what she's seen. And a lot of times when you see a lot of actors, they don't get to tell, you know, how they feel or what they've been going on or what they observe and see within the media. She gave her insight. She told the truth. She made it clear. She felt like hey, you're going to be in this business, and it's not easy. So no, I appreciate that. Tonight's show, Real Men Talking, we got into it, yeah. That was kind of fun. Ray Cole, when I'm ready to go to the strip club, I'm going to hit you up, you know. Just want to let you know that. Everybody have a great week.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen. And our brother Elio, you know, got cut off, but definitely I'm pretty sure he's probably going to tell everybody, thank you for tuning in. A special shout-out to Eric Alexander for joining us, and make sure you live every day optimistically. And just know that we do appreciate you for tuning in and hanging out with us tonight, as always. Be safe. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. And what I want to do right now, usually I'll play our outro song before we leave. But, again, as a tribute to Michael Jackson, I want to end off the show with one of his songs from his hit album Thriller. This is Michael Jackson, Lady in My Life. We will see you guys next time. Please be safe. Please be positive. And please live love and live happy. D-Slay, L-E-O-C-K. We'll see you guys next time.
Good night, everybody.
I'm give you all in my life. Let me do your thing. All over, all over.